Good evening, everyone. We invite you to stand and worship the Lord with us this evening. Have a seat.
Good evening. Welcome to Jacob's Well tonight and to our Ash Wednesday gathering. My name is Tim Keel. I serve as senior pastor of this wonderful church. This is such an important night in our life together as followers of Jesus. Many of you know that Ash Wednesday serves as a gateway into the season of Lent as God is preparing to bring Israel back from captivity into the land. We read from Isaiah chapter 40 and says, "A voice calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Lent is a season of 40 days of preparation, time set aside to make us ready to celebrate and receive Christ in his resurrection and Easter. It's a season of reflection, season of examination, a time for honesty, repentance, and humility. You know, 40 is a number that gets used in Scripture often to talk about either a time of preparation or a time of cleansing. Think about it. In the flood narrative, it rains for 40 days and for 40 nights, a time of cleansing. Israel spends 40 years wandering in the desert, being cleansed, being prepared to enter the land that God has promised them. And most significantly for what we're entering in here together as a church, Jesus, before he begins his public ministry, we're told that the Spirit leads him into the wilderness for a time of preparation, a season of testing before he begins his public ministry. If the number 40 represents the time of preparation, then conversely, the desert represents, or is a metaphor, the space where that preparation and cleansing happens. We see that metaphor of desert both literally and figuratively throughout the Scriptures. It's the geography where cleansing and where preparation happens. This verse we just looked at from Isaiah 40, it begins, "A voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare a way." That's often where God's work starts, in the forsaken places, which is not usually where we'd prepare God to begin his work. Is that right? The desert places, the wilderness places, the hard, scoured places of our lives. And yet the promise of the Scripture is that in the wilderness, God's salvation breaks forth. One of my favorite passages is found in Isaiah 43, verses 18 through 21. The prophet says to forget the former things and not to dwell in the past. See, he says, "I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it?" Read with me. "I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." I'll continue. "The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water where? In the wilderness. And streams where? In the wasteland, to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise." And so Ash Wednesday signals the start of an intentional season of preparation and cleansing, of honesty and reckoning with our lives. To be honest, that we might see God's movement and participate in the life that he wants to build in us. Tonight we enter on Ash Wednesday a season of preparation and a space of scouring. You know, often when we come to Ash Wednesday, and more specifically to Lent, we get fixated on what we give up for Lent. Yes, have you given some thought to that? It's often where the conversation around Lent starts. And that usually misses the point. I read a really powerful essay today that described this dynamic. I'd like to share some of it with you. The author says the following: "There is always something half comical, half tragic about the banalities of what we, quote-unquote, give up for Lent. And the knowledge of the unimpressiveness of our efforts in this area can lead us toward either triviality or despair. We can sacrifice the unimportant, and in this way not really care about what we're doing, or we can be crushed by the paltry efforts we make as they compare to the awesome horror of Christ's death. So the insight that our bodies can positively relate to the spiritual life quickly can become a demanding, unyielding law that deprives us of the freedom the gospel's promise. He continues. Lent, when taken up into the cycle of man's attempts at self-justification, can fix our gaze toward our own doing, and in this way upend the point of the liturgical season. Read with me. What Christ has done. That's what this is about. Ash Wednesday, then, should be seen as standing guard over Lent, reminding us at its start of the core truth of Christianity. Now, will you read with me till the end? We must give up. Stop. Just sit with that for a second. Here's the core truth of the Christian faith. This is what Ash Wednesday serves as a reminder of. One more time with me. We must give up. We must give up not this or that habit or food or particular sin, but the entire project of self-justification, of making God's love contingent upon our own achievements. That's good news, isn't it? Yeah. So easy to miss the point, to get the purpose of the practices wrong. Israel did it all the time. In a little bit, we're going to read from Isaiah 58. Isaiah speaks against their practice of fasting. They took something that was meant to be justice for the poor and became a religious experience that puffed them up. They missed it. They missed the point. And I do not want us to miss the point of what this season is for us. It's an opportunity to confess that we give up. One more quote from this essay. On Ash Wednesday, our confession of sin is really saying we give up. By repenting, we opt out of the logic that turns the good news of Christianity into another form of bondage, of accusation and moralizing. We do not, on this day at least, pretend to be anything other than the flawed human beings we are. And it is this very lack of pretending that is such a relief to sufferers weighed down by guilt. Ash Wednesday is a day for honesty. We no longer have to fear or elude the truth about ourselves. Tonight, our liturgy, our time together, this space, this season, it's time to remind us of our limitations and our inability to rescue ourselves. We will come through the practice of putting on ashes to the reminder of the ultimate limit we face as human beings, and that is the limitation of our death. There's no escaping it. The ashes say we will not escape death, and so it's humbling. But our hope is rooted not in our ability to rescue ourselves, but in the one who overcame death. And so I welcome you tonight into our celebration of the recognition and dependence on the one who overcame death. Let's enter together into this season.
If there ever was a time to confess that I am blind, my God, I need you. If there ever was a place to say it to your face, my God, I need you. Yes, I do. If there ever was a song to say I feel alone, I say, my God, I need you. If there ever was a day to tell you I'm afraid, oh my God, I need you. Yes, I do, my God. I need you. To rescue me and heal my If there ever was a curse, I need you to reverse, my God. I need you. If there were ever words that I needed to be heard by God, I need you. Yes, I do.
Please listen and reflect for the reading of Isaiah 58. Behold, In the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, and speaking wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness, and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in.
Please join with me in prayer. This liturgical prayer has a call that I lead and then a spot for men to speak in response, women to speak, and then all of us together. Let us pray. Among the poor, among the proud, Christ is coming to make all things new. In the private house, in the public place, Christ is coming to make all things new. With a gentle touch, with an angry word, Christ is coming to make all things new. That the kingdom might come, that the world might believe. Christ is coming to make all things new. Within us, without us, before us, behind us. Christ is coming to make all things new.
Listen and reflect for the reading of Psalm 139. Is there any place I can go to avoid your spirit, to be out of your sight? If I climb to the sky, you're there. If I go underground, you're there. If I flew on morning's wings to the far western horizon, you'd find me in a minute. You're already there waiting. Then I said to myself, oh, he even sees me in the dark. At night, I'm immersed in the light. It's a fact. Darkness isn't dark to you. Night and day, darkness and light, they're all the same to you. We'll now enter a time of silent prayer and reflection. If you'd like, you can use the questions on the screen to guide your reflection.
dust we come, and dust we are, and shall return. Be still, my soul, and let it go, just let it go. Glory to God, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God, glory to God in the highest. Naked we came and shall.
Genesis chapter 2, we're told that God reaches down into the dust, Adama is the Hebrew word, and fashions Yatzar, man, Adam, and then breathes breath, ruach, spirit, and man goes from being Adam to nefesh, a living being, a soul, dust, animated by spirit, not just breath, but God's very presence. It's so easy to forget that it's God's breath that animates us, that gives us our life, on whom we are dependent. And so on Ash Wednesday, we pause, we come, and we humble ourselves and confess personally and together that we do not have our life by our own strength, our sustenance by bread alone, but everything that we have proceeds from the generosity of the Father, his breath in us, ruach, his word alive in our lives. And so we come at this point in our gathering and we kneel down before one another and we're marked with ashes. The pronouncement we make, it comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 20. All go to the same place. All come from dust. And to dust all shall return. So we come together on this night to humble ourselves, to tell the truth, to be honest, and to claim our dependence by kneeling and being marked with ashes. But the ashes we marked are marked by. They're not neutral. Rather, they're made in the sign of the cross. The death that we will face is under the cross of Christ. In the good news of the power of God's life, not just giving us life once, but the promise of resurrection that is present in Christ. And so I invite you this evening to come forward. We're going to come like we do in communion, from the balcony, from the back to the front, and then return. And what we're going to have is, rather than six communion stations, we'll have our pastoral team appear along the front, each with ashes that have been mixed with anointing oil. And if you're able to, I invite you to kneel if you're with your spouse or your kids or whatever, to do that with friends, and to kneel down, and we'll mark you with ashes in the sign of the cross. And then you can return and then use this time for continued reflection, prayer, and contemplation. So let's come together to Christ in humility to be marked by his life and his love.
Will you stand and sing with us?
Oh, Spirit of God, pray for us, pray for us. Oh, Spirit of God, pray for us, pray for us. Now and at the hour of our death, amen, amen. Now and at the hour of our death, amen. Forgive us.
Will you join with me in this closing prayer? For all that God can do within us, for all that God can do without us, thanks be to God. For all in whom Christ lived before us, for all in whom Christ lives beside us, thanks be to God. For all the Spirit wants to bring us, for where the Spirit wants to send us, thanks be to God. Listen, Christ has promised to be with us in the world as in our worship. Amen. We go to serve him. Amen.